The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 141. Will the real financial planner please stand up? For many years, I have touted that when seeking out a financial planner, it is really important to work with someone who is fee-only and a fiduciary. I'm going to break those down real quick. Fee-only planners structure their compensation in a manner that is consistent with client goals without outside influence or bias, and they do that by only being paid by their clients. So they're not receiving any money from another financial institution. They don't earn commissions. They don't earn kickbacks or incentives. Only the clients pay them for work. And so fee-only planners are, you know, at that point, their incentive structure is completely based on their client paying them for a service being delivered. Okay, we're good there. That fiduciary term ensures that the planner is legally obligated to work in your best interests. And there are some real duties that are involved. There are duties involved with respect to being a fiduciary, namely a duty of care, a duty of confidentiality, a duty of good faith, a duty of prudence, duty of loyalty, and duty of disclosure. And so fiduciaries have a number of different ways, basically sort of responsibilities that they have to maintain, values that they have to maintain when working with a client. And so being fee-only and being a fiduciary, if a planner has both of these qualities, cover a lot of the ethical grounds that, form the client planner relationship. However, what I'm starting to see is a trend that is occurring in the fee-only fiduciary population. And it's a behavior that's starting to snowball into a real number of independent firms and independent planners that are really bastardizing this seemingly prudent spot of being a fee-only fiduciary and bastardizing this prudent role that someone who has these qualities should be ethical. And this fraud, and it is, in my view, fraud, is as follows. The work that they are turning into you is not their own. Yes, you heard me right. We are starting to see a trend where the person or people you believe you are hiring to do financial planning work or whatever it is, or investments or what have you, may not be, in fact, doing the job in whole or in part. Sounds kind of crazy. I've got examples. One of the ways that these planners, these independent planners, are not doing the job on their own is they're turning to professional networking groups on Facebook to ask questions on how to do their jobs. Now, I'm not talking about a one-off question regarding how to read a particular tax law, or what particular planning software do you recommend, or what do you like or not like? No. We're talking about real client work questions that they are turning around, presenting as their own, and getting paid for. And I've got examples. This first example comes from a planner, and I'll say it's an independent planner out of Roanoke, Virginia. And this came across in a Facebook group over the weekend. Quote, doing quarterly rebalancing. Just curious. How many of y'all are feeling bullish or bearish on the stock market at this point? And if you are feeling bullish, what are you investing in for alpha? TIA, unquote. Tee-hee-hee. Really? You're asking me and asking a population of people, but including myself, and at least for me, in terms of our investment management and so on, I put upwards of 2,000 hours a year of research, studying a variety of topics from, you know, individual companies to thinking more macro about geopolitics, where the world is going. And so all these different things that I spend hours and hours a day, every single day. And you just want me to hand that to you. And worse yet, if I do, in a way, I'm breaching my fiduciary duty, because I have a duty to loyalty to my clients to hopefully help them be able to buy into that investment strategy as low as possible and hopefully earn as much as possible. So if I earnestly answer this question, I am making it more costly for you, the client, to go and buy the same things. This is the same nonsense that Kathy Wood did with the ARK Innovation ETF Fund circa 2020 into 2021. She went on CNBC every single week and pumped up her, you know, their investment portfolio. They were on Twitter and just jamming that thing down people's throats. Pump it up, pump it up, pump it up. And then the world figured out exactly what was going on. It took a few months. But by February of 2021, things got ugly. And it's been ugly and ugly and ugly for that firm and for that fund ever since. Losing most of their net value. The bottom line is that didn't serve anyone who was sitting long-term in her fund has not done very well at all for the level of risk they've been taking, not close. So the idea that I'm just going to sit there and hand my work, that to even have the gall to ask me, what's that hot stock tip you have? Are you kidding? That's miserable. It's unprofessional. And frankly, it's a form of intellectual theft. This doesn't just happen in the investment world, though. It happens in financial planning as well. And here's the setup. They'll rattle off a client scenario under the guise of saying, I need a sanity check. But then when you go and read it, it reads like you're learning everything about that client's situation down to the pennies in the savings account. And then they ask a number of questions. I'm like, that's literally hours of work. Like, you should be doing this. You're right. Those are great questions. Go do your job. And they're hoping people will answer this stuff. And then they go off and charge $400 an hour for that. It's tantamount to having your work product being crowdsourced. It reminds me, you know, it's one of those things, and I got into an argument on it over the weekend. And there was pushback. Well, this is just us sharing ideas. I'm like, no, it's plagiarism. What else would you call the practice of taking someone else's work or ideas and passing them off as one's own? It is little book definition of plagiarism. You are plagiarizing the ideas of others and you're trying to make a profit on it. And then it's say, oh, well, I came up with that. You didn't come up with anything. If you can't do the job, why not refer that business out to someone who can? Because they don't want to, because they want to get paid and they don't want to do the job. You're going to find a theme in this. Wanting to get paid without doing work. Speaking of which, bullet point number two, they are in fact paying someone else to do it. So another trend in our fee-only fiduciary, holier-than-thou ethics is that, you know what, I don't feel very confident in investments, so I'm going to hire a third party. What's referred to in our industry as a TAMP, T-A-M-P, or Turnkey Asset Management Program. This means that that the planner is paying for and using a third party, or what we refer to also as a sub-advisor, to make the investment decisions, to make the trades. So your planner isn't actually doing the investment work. You have a contractor that is. And so the planner is charging you 1% or more upfront. They're paying them 0.3 to 0.5%. We call them basis points. So 30 to 50 basis points is the same thing as 0.3 to 0.5%. 30 to 50 basis points of that amount to do the heavy lifting. And then the firm says, well, we do due diligence on them. Well, what are you doing due diligence on? How can you say you're doing due diligence? You're not creating the strategy, so you're not doing any of the research. So how do you know if they've done a good job or not? And the answer is, did it perform well? And if it performed well, then that's good. And if they didn't perform well, then that's bad. And that is as much due diligence as they can do without actually digging into the investments and what's being selected. At which point, why aren't they doing the work themselves? So they perform their so-called due diligence, which is hand-waving. They'll meet with you once or twice a year, and they'll collect their money. So imagine, in a scenario, having them manage $500,000 for you. They charge you 1%. They pay the TAMP 30 basis points, 0.3%, to use whatever strategy the TAMP thinks is best, usually at that low of a rate. It's just exchange-traded funds, ETFs, index funds. The firm itself and that planner has little to no liability, depending on whatever disclosures they just jammed into either the ADV, which is a regulatory document, or your investment management contract, which may push us off they may just flat out say, we have no liability. And for that lack of responsibility, lack of work product, lack of accountability, they're walking away on $500K invested, $3,500 a year for 3 hours of work. And they may include a lunch in there, or a nice holiday card for you. $3,500, 3 hours of work a year, and no accountability for the work that they're doing, nor any answers. That's pretty darn sweet for not actually doing much. It's over $1,000 an hour. And that's just it. I mean, there it is. And we're seeing the same theme on the tax side. So what they do is they end up contracting their planning clients to work with their firm, but then they ship the tax documents, they ship the materials to a third party to prepare and file on the client's behalf. So then the planning firm charges a shelf price. They pay the third party whatever they're charging, and they pocket the difference. So they'll charge you $500 to prepare a basic return. They'll ship it over to a CPA who's overcharging and charging $300 for that return. And they get to pocket $200 for a half hour of paper shuffling. Pretty good rate for, again, not having to do a whole heck of a lot. What all of this to say, these businesses aren't in the business of doing actual work. They're in the business of playing connector, referrer, salesperson, and collecting on their winnings while doing their level best to avoid both work and responsibility for the product you receive. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see people in my industry behave this way, let alone the people. And a lot of these people are the chest-beating, so-called gold standard certified financial planners. I call them certified fee pushers. And when you go and press them on this, and you press them on the conflicts of interest and so on, and all the disclosures, they go, but I disclosed it, so it's okay. According to the CFP board standards for certified financial planners, they do not have to outright avoid conflicts of interest. They are allowed to disclose them, and not only are they allowed to disclose them, they don't even have to put that disclosure in writing. A verbal disclosure on their website, it says it's okay. What? A verbal disclosure is okay. No, it's not. And in fact, going all the way back to the beginning and looking at what a fiduciary is, duty of loyalty, duty of disclosure. Duty of loyalty literally means are not permitted to use the position of trust and confidence to further their private interest. Your private interest is how much you get paid. That's why our firm is not in insurance. That's why we don't do stuff with commissions or any of that. But these jokers are fine with it, as long as they disclosed it. That's unacceptable. That's not avoiding a conflict of interest. It's embracing it. Well, we can disclose it. It's the same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. It impacts and changes the decision-making. Consciously or subconsciously. If you can do something that gets you paid more, then that's a conflict. But I disclosed it is not good enough. And if you look at other countries and other fiduciary rules, you'll find that they're very stringent on this point. This is not negotiable, not even close. So the whole thing is just straight up embarrassing. And so then the question is, okay, I'm a client. I'm facing all this. What do I do about it? How do I screen this out as a client? Well, the first thing you can do is ask the planner directly, who does the work? Is the work all performed internally? And ask and be very explicit about whether the team you are hiring is actually producing the work product. Read the contract. Read that form ADV they give you carefully. Any mention of third-party involvement should be scrutinized. Like in our disclosures, it says we share information with third parties only to the extent that we can get the work done. But in no way do we have anyone else other than our firm building the financial plan, the investment strategy, or preparing your taxes. We use tools to do those things. That's it. But if you're seeing that a third party is in any way delivering the service, you are likely paying more than you should. You may be forfeiting your ability to hold the other side accountable for their work product, or both. Those both sound like awful experiences and not worthy of consideration as a fiduciary. When you're looking at a planner, look at their experience, look at their background, not just in the financial world, but in their career. Every financial planner has to disclose a decade worth of work. Is this someone with a background you can trust will actually be able to guide you? Look for people with degrees in financial planning. Because here's the issue. And the certified fee pusher thing, the CFP, is part and parcel to this. The regulatory authority, FINRA, recognizes over 200 professional designations, all designed to make someone appear qualified. It's marketing, guys. It's marketing. That's all it is. Because at the end of the day, real education, you go to school, get a master's degree. No marketing required. These guys have to pay annual dues. And like for the certified financial planners, a good chunk of that money, nearly half, goes into an advertising fund. Goes into a marketing fund. That's where they choose to spend their dollars, is on large marketing campaigns to make themselves look like nothing sticks to them. That's what they do with their money. That's what they do with client money. They earn it, and then they go and produce that. And that's why our firm does this thing differently. We focus on real education. It's a 3-year ramp-up program. We have internal education on tax prep and policy and coaching in year one. Years two and three, we pay for a master's program from a very rigorous college. And our team members do not pay a dime out of pocket for that. We make time available for them to study and work. And so when they come out of our firm 3 years in, you know, we have a team that's highly educated, that's intelligent, that is experienced and skilled in this industry. No alphabet soup, no marketing gimmicks, do great work product, wash, rinse, repeat. And that's how this firm has grown 75% year on year for over a half a decade now. It's not through being clever. It's through doing outstanding work. That's it. So look for a firm, look for people. And by the way, I mean, we're not the only ones, by the way, that are out there doing amazing work. So if you're looking at it and going, you know, this Briggs get you, here's the deal. Not everyone's a perfect fit for everybody. That's the other thing I want to put out there. Don't settle for someone that you hope is just going to do an okay job. There are planners all over the United States. Not just in your town or your city, you know, your state or your all over the country. So find one that's going to be the best fit for you. A phrase I like to use, and I used it even this afternoon when I was sitting there working with someone. You know, I was meeting with a potential new client. I said, you know, choosing to work together is not a prize to be won, but a match to be made. We're looking to make a match. And there are some times where I'm not a good fit for a client. Maybe from a lack of background in an area they need. Maybe it's a personality thing. In some cases, the opposite is true, where someone is just, you know, maybe they have an attitude about them that, I'm just not jiving with. That's okay. Find a planner with real knowledge, experience, a good ability to connect with you and the actual ability to serve you with their own work product. And I think meeting and interviewing people and talking to, you know, easily a couple of planners, if you're not feeling a connection there, surveying the field and seeing, is it you, is it them, will give you a decent indication of that. But find a planner that is a great fit for you, and don't settle for someone that isn't, because this person's going to be potentially not only learning about very sensitive aspects of your life, but maybe someone that you want or need to turn to when something happens that you don't want to share with the rest of your friends or family or what have you. But this person can be in your corner and can be helpful and can be supportive of you if you trust them, and you need to trust them to have a healthy planning relationship. But the bottom line in all this, and I just want to wrap it up like this. It is amazing to me. It is unfortunate to me that in a lot of ways, the fee-only financial planners are looking an awful lot right now like the mutual fund brokers that push crap at the bank, like the insurance agents are out there. These guys are more and more and more getting into, how can I get into this industry, set up a whole platform, and then I'm going to sell services, and I'm going to collect all the monies. And what I'm not seeing that as, how about building up some real knowledge and skills and knowing how to, and doing a good job? That doesn't get talked about very often in these discussion groups. So how do I build my business? How do I use social media? How about just do good work and then ask for referrals? It's boring and effective. And that's that. And so to that end, I would advise, be careful out there, because even the people that look like they're supposed to be the good eggs have got some very interesting things in that basket. And I want to make sure that those things don't ultimately end up and snap your hand off in the process. With that, I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. I to check out all of our episodes, all 140 other episodes of Money is Personal, visit our website at BriggsWealth.com. Make sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We have entertaining memes. We have awesome stories to share. Articles, the podcast episodes get updated, and you'll be first to know regarding that. You can also find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. My name's Stephen Briggs. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Be safe, be well, and I'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.